here he is, our veteran of the game, Seymour Wiener.
What's up, baseball fans? Welcome to Put Me in Coach, a podcast about baseball made by and for baseball fans. My name is Matt Coggins. You'll be hearing from my co-host Carl Mizell very soon. Now, this is the second half of our two-part season preview episode where we look at what to expect in this 2024 season. In case you missed the first chunk where we discuss which players are primed for a big year, check that out from last week in our feed. This week, we're going to dive into the projections for the entire league. Which teams are going to win which divisions, which ones make the playoffs, who goes to the World Series, blah, 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 blah. We're also going to look at a couple of new rules that MLB has on the books. It's all a little bit different from the first episode. First episode was all about players. This is about teams and how the league is going to shape up. So that's what is in store this week. Important caveat, we recorded all of this last Monday, which was the March 25th, so I'm sure there's going to be a few things that haven't aged super well, but you got to do what you got to do. Either way, that's what we're going to dig into today. Next week, we're going to be back with a brand new episode that we will record in an appropriate time. We're going to talk about all of the new additions coming to the stadiums, new food, new scoreboards, all that good stuff. Really excited about the food portion, especially. I'm going to be at Citi Field tonight. As I'm recording this, it's Monday morning. I'm going to be at Citi Field trying out as much new food as I can, and we're going to give you a first-hand review of what you can expect at least one baseball stadium. So that's what's in store for next week. This week, however, I wanted to pop in, give you some fun stories from the week, talk about the baseball news. This week has been incredibly exciting as we got our first taste of baseball. The Yankees swept the Astros thanks in large part to the offensive and defensive skills of one Juan Soto. The Diamondbacks set a franchise record with a 14-run inning in their opening day victory over the Rockies. The White Sox were historically bad as just the second team ever to open a season with zero runs, walks, or extra base hits and 10-plus strikeouts, while the rival Tigers swept them in three one-run games for the first start of that nature in the Tigers franchise history. Go Tigers. The Mets also honored a veteran named Seymour Wiener. So there's that. Now, those same Mets, they got off to a chaotic start when former Philly Rhys Hoskins made a hard slide into second base, digging a cleat into Jeff McNeil's shin and nearly twisting his leg on the way down. Kind of a brutal slide. The bench is cleared. McNeil threw around some curses, some good old-fashioned fuck yous. Hoskins ran with his tail between his legs straight to the dugout, where then he started talking shit, giving us the crybaby motion. I guess fair, but at the same time, if somebody fucked up my leg when I'm a baseball player, I'd probably be a little upset about it too. Slide was not called for interference. It was a legal slide, but it did definitely perturb the Mets, especially the way Hoskins reacted. They ended up throwing at him, of course, but it was like after he already had a really great game, he drove in like four runs, and it was in the seventh inning. It's like, if you're going to make a statement and throw at a guy, I don't really agree with that practice, but if you're going to do it, why wait? It was like several at-bats too late. Now, because of that, Johan Ramirez, the reliever that did the throwing, and manager Carlos Mendoza were suspended. Yes, that's right. The Mets have started their already low-expectation season with their brand new manager getting suspended just 3 days in. So, let's go Mets. Another fight broke out between the Rays' Genesis Cabrera and the Jays' Jose Caballero. They had a chaotic play that saw both of them kind of throwing shoves and the benches cleared. Cabrera was suspended for 3 games. Another wild way to start a season. We got fights in our first fucking weekend of the season, of course. The injury bug already bit a few teams. Twin star Royce Lewis could miss up to 2 months with a quad strain. Yankees' DJ LeMahieu has a right foot fracture. The Braves' Sean Murphy has an oblique injury. So not a great way to start. I don't think that's going to alter, you know, what Carl and I said, predicting how some of these teams are going to do this year. But keeping that in mind, that injuries always happen, but boy, does it suck when they happen the very first week of the season. And as I record this on Monday morning, the Pirates, Yankees, Tigers, and Brewers are all undefeated. They all swept for their first series, and they head into their second series with zeros in the loss column. The Mets, the White Sox, the Astros, and Marlins still haven't won a game. And they're searching for that first win. So that's going to be it for me for the news. Join us next week for more baseball. Enjoy another amazing week, our first full week of baseball on the season. Again, I will be at a game tonight. I'm so excited. So until you hear from us next week, thank you so much for listening. And here is the rest of our season preview. And now let's transition to the teams. So, according to Baseball Prospectus, this is your American League. The Yankees will win the East with 92 wins, followed by the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Rays, the Red Sox. The Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Rays, all at 87 to 88 wins. That's a wild division. Good for them. The AL Central will be won by the Twins with 90 wins, followed by the Guardians, the Tigers, the Royals, the Sox. In the West, the Astros will win with 95 wins, followed by the Rangers, the Mariners, the Angels, the A's. Now, I said this last year, but do you feel it's a little lazy that they just kind of copy-paste for some of these divisions? Like, hey, well, this happened last year. Let's just do it again this year. The projections for the AL East are interesting because the Yankees going from a 500 season to a 92-win season, I find wild. But that on top of the fact that the Orioles would regress, the Rays would regress, the Blue Jays would get a little better, and that division gets insanely competitive, where the Red Sox are not even that far below 500 and floating at fifth place.
I don't get, it's not apples to apples, but I get real Chicago White Sox vibes from the Toronto Blue Jays. I feel like every year people say, it's their year. You watch out. They're going to get you. And again, they haven't been around nearly as long as the White Sox, but if you take the 2005 season out of the White Sox equation, they have not won a playoff series in 100 years.
Yeah.
That's what I get. Now, obviously, the Blue Jays have won, I think, they won in 2015, 2016. They won some playoff series in recent years. But I always feel like people tell us they're going to be better than they are. Even I predicted they would go to the fucking World Series last year. That's part of the problem. I'm no better.
What does it say about the Sox this year, though, that they're projected to have a 96-loss season?
I think that's
accurate.
I think it's accurate. Yeah.
For once?
Yeah, I agree with that one. I would flip New York and Baltimore, but other than that, I think it's going to go Baltimore, New York, Toronto, Tampa, Boston.
Okay, you think that the Yankees will be that good and the Rays that bad? And I don't even say bad, because bad in the AL East is still an 85-win season.
Oh, yeah, I really think that the distance between the first place and the third place team in the East is probably going to be 6 or 7 games.
Man.
I could see, like, you know, 100, 97, and then, like, 93. Like, I could, you know, plausibly see that at the top, and then you'd have, you know, Toronto maybe at 88 or 89, and then Boston at, you know, 50, it was at 65, something like that.
Yeah. The West is pretty much the same as it was last year, with the Astros winning way more games. Did they do much to improve this year? I don't remember seeing their names come up a lot.
They got Hader.
The Astros, they did get Hader.
And they extended Altuve.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like the Rangers. Yeah. And this is just a gut thing, because they just won a World Series, and you rarely repeat that success going into the next year, but you wonder why this projection has the Astros beating them by 9 games. Like, that I find wild, because last year it came down to the wire. The Astros went from third to first in the last week of the season.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some regression in Houston. I don't think it's going to be serious. I don't think you're going to be staring down a 500 season in Houston, but I also don't think that they're going to be the Astros we've come to know over the last decade.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk about the one that's closest to our hearts, the Central. The Twins are projected for 90 wins, and the Guardians are at 83, Tigers are at 75. This would be a major regression for the Tigers team that's only improved year after year, and they've done a lot in the offseason. Same with the Royals. I feel like the Royals were bad last year. I don't think they're going to be great this year, but I think they'll at least be a 500 team, not a 91 loss team.
Yeah.
How does this shake out in your eye test? I don't agree with this Central at all.
No, I don't think so either. I think that no team has done more to improve than the Tigers. I think a lot of, there are so many people that are trying to gas up the Royals. It feels like that somebody in the Royals organization has naked pictures of somebody important. They have naked pictures of Rob Manfred, and he's like, just say nice things about him, or they're going to release these pictures of me. they're going to release pictures of me supporting a union or some shit. I don't know. I just don't see it. So I in homerism aside, I really think that the combination of the improvements that they've made, I think the Tigers pitching staff is going to be a top five staff in baseball. Again, health, you know, the health of the staff, I think that they are truly legit. And I think that even if their offense is passable, you know, just like good enough, I think the Tigers can take that division. I don't think the Central is going to get a wild card, so it's going to be division or bust. I don't think Cleveland's got a new manager. They just left the Francona era. I think there's going to be a growth period there for Stephen Vogt. I think he is a worthy successor to Francona. I think he's a good successor to him in that regard. Minnesota just doesn't feel legit to me. They don't feel like a legit contender to me. You know what I mean?
It feels like they rest a lot of their hopes every year on, well, Brian Buxton will be healthy this year.
Yeah.
And inevitably, right before the season starts, you see, oh, Brian Buxton, not healthy. And you go, oh, shit.
Yeah, but Buxton's hurt again. What happened? Oh, he just got up off the toilet too fast. You know how sometimes you get up the toilet too fast and he just tore his meniscus?
They lost Sonny Gray, so that's a major loss in WAR. We'll dig into this a little bit later, but I think the Twins aren't going to be an easy team. I don't think they're going to, you know, regress deeply from last year. I do think the Tigers give them a bigger run for their money than people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these toilet teams, the A's, no one expects them to do well. And I feel bad for it, but no. I agree. Why should they? Why should they do well?
No.
It's not like their owner cares.
Don't be nice to the owner. Fuck that guy. You want to do the National League?
Let's jump in. Of course. The Atlanta Braves, projected to win the AL East with 101 games, followed by the Phillies, the Mets, the the Fish, and the Nationals. I always get the Mariners and the Marlins confused when I see that M. It's the Marlins.
Yep.
In the Central, the St. Louis Cardinals are projected to win with 84 wins, followed by the Cubs, the Reds, the Brewers, the Pirates. That deserves some scrutiny right there. We'll dig into that. And then the West, won by the Dodgers with 101 wins, followed by the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Rockies. That one actually looks pretty good to my eye test. Though the Rockies losing 105 games, I'm sure they don't look forward to. But
no.
Let's start with the East. This feels accurate to me. The Braves winning 100 games again feels wild, but at the same time, I feel like they can do it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I want it to be flipped. And it could be flipped if Acuna gets injured, if Strider doesn't live up to the potential. I don't think that 1 through 9 Atlanta is strong enough to absorb the loss of even a Matt Olson. You know, we haven't even really talked about Matt Olson.
Yeah. They don't have a next guy up kind of farm. They're pretty much like whoever's in the starting nine is their guy.
Yeah.
And if they lose a guy, you're down 5 WAR at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So I could easily see that flipping, but otherwise the East makes sense.
The Mets having a winning season could be cool. I think that they're hoping to grab a wild card spot, but not having high hopes past a 500 season. And I think that's fair after what happened last year.
Yeah, the Mets are in a really unenviable position to me because not only are they fighting against the Braves and the Phillies, but they're also realistically fighting against the Giants and the Padres and the Diamondbacks because
And themselves a little bit.
And themselves. LOL Mets. But yeah, I the Mets are in a really unenviable position this year. If the Mets can win 84 games, I think that's a major step forward for them, and will help going into the free agent class next year.
Yeah.
Showing players that they're serious.
The West, like I said, looks pretty normal. The Dodgers projected to win 101 games. The Giants, I think, at 85, that seems fair. Last year, I think the biggest reason they struggled was because of Gabe Kapler. And I think a lot of the players didn't like him. Mm-hmm. So they got a new manager. They've got a couple new faces. They've got a stronger rotation. I think they can really compete.
They're going to be like the Tigers to me in that they're going to heavily rely on that pitching staff.
Yeah. Diamondbacks last year were a World Series contender. This looks like it projects them to be a wild card team. If my math is... All right, never mind. We're not going to do this whole math thing. They'll win a wild card slot. I think the Diamondbacks are good. I don't think they've done much to improve, but what can you do? They signed Eduardo Rodriguez and he got injured. So yeah,
there you go. I think that Arizona got out a little over their skis a bit last year. Now, I mean, they obviously made it to the World Series, but I don't think they have it in them to repeat. I'm slightly misusing the idiom of getting out over their skis there, but I think that they were playing a little above what they were. You know, punching a little above their weight. That's a better analogy. So I see them backsliding. But I really think San Diego and San Francisco, like I alluded to earlier, I think their pitching staffs in particular are going to really make it difficult. Mm-hmm. I still think Los Angeles is going to win the division, but I think it's going to be closer to something with 95 wins. 93 to 95.
Let's talk about this Central, because they project the Cardinals to win 84 games and win the division. I don't see it.
No.
Who's your ace? Sonny Gray, who's injured.
Yep.
Lance Lynn.
Steven Matz. No. Is Steven Matz still there? Is he even starting?
I don't know.
Michaelis? Matthew Laboratory? I can't remember how to pronounce it. Laboratory, I think, is it's pronounced. But
who's even in their lineup anymore? What is going on with this team?
They've still got Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Tommy Edman should be. Tommy Edman is injured.
Which Contreras do they have again?
They have Wilson.
Got it. Okay. Last good one.
Yeah. No, Wilson is the... William Contreras is in Milwaukee.
Right.
Wilson Contreras... I mean, they're both very good. But Wilson is in St. Louis. And then you've got Jordan Walker out in the outfield. You've got Lars Nootbaar out there. I can't remember. Oh, I'm missing somebody. I don't think they're... They're going to have the same situation that I think the White Sox are going to face... That the Giants faced. I don't think they bought in with their manager. I think Ollie Marmol's in over his head.
Otherwise, it's anybody's division. I mean, the Cubs are projected to have a 500 season. I think they could do better than that.
Yeah, I think
the Reds can do better than 79 wins. The Brewers were a playoff team last year. How are they projected for 79 wins? None of this makes sense.
Well, they don't have Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff is going to miss the season, and they don't have Corbin Burns.
That's a big part of it.
So,
but.
Yeah, I honestly think it's going to be I think it's going to be between the Cubs and Reds. I think it's going to be an interesting race. I think 90 wins can take the division. I don't think 84 wins is taking the division. I think like a 88 to 91 win season gets that division. Same thing with the American League Central.
Yeah. Yeah. I included this like team war projections on here. It's pretty much the same information just laid out across the whole league. The best teams, the Braves, the worst teams, the Athletics. No surprises there. And that's a difference of 25 war. So the top 10 rotations, according to MLB's Anthony Castrovince, the Mariners at number one, Braves at number two. Phillies, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, Guardians, and tied for 10th, three-way tie with the Mariners, the Marlins, the Astros, and the Orioles. The Guardians as a number nine in the top 10 rotation makes no sense. Now, Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber, great pitchers. Top 10 rotation in the league pitchers?
No.
Fuck is this?
They have Daniel Espino, who is a very fine young pitcher, but I don't think he's enough with Bieber and McKenzie to make them a top 10 rotation. Now, that said, if I were a team that had to face the Mariners in the playoffs, I would not when you can essentially go down to a three-man rotation, I would not want to face Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, and Luis Castillo.
That's dangerous.
That is one of the strongest top of the rotations in all of baseball. It makes more sense over Atlanta, who has Strider and Freed, and then
Morton,
who's almost my age.
They have Chris Sale now, and he's the sort of big question mark of their rotation. Is he going to be great? Is he going to be as good as he's been the last couple of years?
If Sale can keep an ERA under 4, you know, and just hit like, you know, a couple of, you know, quality start, you know, 2 out of every 3 starts is a quality start, you know, kind of thing. And the other starts aren't that bad. I'll change my mind, but I'm putting Chris Sale in the Mike Trout boat. I think the best of Chris Sale is behind him. Yeah.
He's toast. The top 10 bullpens, the Phillies, the Braves, the Pirates, the Astros, the Rays, the Dodgers, Cardinals, Brewers, Twins, 2-way tie for 10th with the Blue Jays and Cubs. That's a little more agreeable. What the hell are the Pirates doing way up there?
They have David Bednar, who is a really excellent pitcher out of the pen, and they also signed Aroldis Chapman.
Okay. Well, good for Aroldis Chapman, I guess.
There you go.
I did see his velocity is way down this year. I don't know if that's a spring training thing or if he's trying some new stuff. I don't like root against Aroldis Chapman. I just don't have faith in him, you know? But he wasn't bad in Texas last year.
Yeah, he is your classic hard-throwing, volatile closer.
Yeah. Hard to argue with the Braves and the Phillies being 2-1 there, though. I mean, good people. Now, Craig Kimbrell is no longer with the Phillies, right? Or is he?
He's in Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay. So the Phillies don't have as many, like, solid late-innings guys, but...
Yeah. They have Alvarado, Gregory Soto, Orion Kierkegaard. I'm missing probably one that's really strong on the pen, too. Oh, Sir Anthony Dominguez.
There he is. Yeah. I mean, Gregory Soto, we know, is the biggest wild card possible in the late innings, but yeah. Philly seems to have used him better than the Tigers ever did, so I think that that's definitely a very strong bullpen. You saw in the playoffs, especially in 2022, how strong that bullpen can be and how it saved them a lot of games, so... That's that. That's the bullpens. That's the rotations. Let's look at the lineups. No surprise here. Top 10, according to Jim Bowden. Number 1, the Braves. Followed by the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Astros, Phillies, Orioles, Yankees, Diamondbacks, Rays, and Reds. Another surprise in the top 10. The bottom 5, according to Jim, the A's, the Rockies, the Nats, the Marlins, and the White Sox. I think when it comes to lineups, it's a better indication than individual player performance because it's one thing to say Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to hit 50 home runs this year. It's another thing to say, or whatever, 30 home runs this year, he's going to have a 1 OPS. It's another thing to say he's going to lead off a lineup that'll also include Matt Olson and Austin Riley and all those other fucking guys. You know, it's lineup protection, as we talked about earlier, guys hitting behind you that are also good that makes a pitcher afraid to put you on base.
Yeah.
That's big, and that's what the Braves have. The Dodgers, of course. I mean, if you're going Betts, Freeman, Ohtani as your top 3 players in the lineup, that's scary. I don't want to pitch to that.
No, absolutely not. I know Jim Bowden in the comments of every Athletic article gets a lot of shit, and sometimes rightfully so. And I'm going to kind of add to that. There really wasn't another team that he thought wasn't better than Cincinnati at number 10. Like,
I would put weird, right?
I'd have put Minnesota there.
Yeah, fully healthy Minnesota makes a little more sense.
Yeah, a fully healthy Minnesota could go there. Maybe, let's see, I just want to make sure I'm not seeing any, like, yeah, okay, Arizona's there. That makes sense. I don't know. Cincinnati, I don't buy them. I don't
buy them. San Diego?
Maybe.
It's weird.
Yeah.
The Giants? The Reds, I like the Reds, but they're a scrappy, they don't hit a lot kind of team, you know? They're more small ball, you know, old school baseball kind of team.
Yeah.
They're not on the same plane as the Braves.
No. Now, in 2026, maybe 2027, it would not surprise me if we were talking about, it would definitely surprise me, but it would be a possibility to talk about a Reds-Tigers World Series.
That'd be fun.
Like, that's what I feel about those teams.
Michigan versus Ohio, blue right. versus red. I love it already. That sounds yeah. great.
So, you know, I'm not going to do like the famous Sports Illustrated cover that correctly predicted that when the Astros were going to win the World Series, like years down the road.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if in 2 to 3 years you could realistically be talking about or predicting. If you predicted a Tigers Reds World Series, people wouldn't scoff at you.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I do too.
I want to talk about some under and overrated teams. Underrated, of course. We already mentioned it today. Let's talk about the Tigers. And I don't think that this is just plain homerism fandom here dictating this. I truly think that this team has a great rotation, an okay lineup. You know, I think offense is still going to be a struggle for this team this year, but better than it was. They were just shy of a 500 record last year. They were 35-17 against the AL Central. They won a season series against every single team in the division. I have no reason to believe that they won't have the same success. Their biggest struggle was with interleague play and the AL East.
Yep.
If they can improve on that, they can definitely improve on 77 wins. I think Vegas has them at 80. I think they can go over. Put your bets on over. I think they win the division. I think if they get to the playoffs, probably not getting much further than that, but I think that they're going to give the Twins a run for their money. The Reds, I think, are also underappreciated. Big surprise last year, Ellie De La Cruz was a huge player, but they were in playoff contention for a second.
Yep.
They've improved. They added Frankie Montas and Jamer Candelario. They play in a very competitive division, just like the Tigers. Unlike the Tigers, they weren't that great in their division, 21-31 last year, but great in interleague play. They can beat up on the AL. They were 28-18 last year. So I think with improvement, that's an even better team this year.
Yeah. And interleague play can be sort of a bellwether, I think. I mean, in 06, I think the Tigers went like 15-0 in wow. interleague play and then ended up in the World Series. Like they did like gangbusters that year. So I've just always assumed that if you did well in interleague play, that if you made it to the playoffs, that somehow indicated that. I have, again, no real data to back this up.
Maybe a lot more proving ground now too. So
yeah, I'll look into it. See if I'm right.
The Padres, I think, are underrated.
I agree.
And I mean this. Last year I said overrated. This year I say under. I think a lot of people predict them to be about a 500 team this year. I think that they had a lot of bad luck last year. That was their biggest downfall, was bad luck. And I think it's because they put Clayton Kershaw crying on the scoreboard after they beat the Dodgers, and they were like cursed the rest of the year. Mm-mm. And, you know, they were, what was it? What did I put the stats down? 0-11 in extra inning games. 6-22 in one run games, never got a win streak above 3. That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
That's just bad fucking luck.
They, again, excellent. Like, their pitching staff was one of, you know, like they were like high marks across the board and tops in, or very close to the top in a lot of pitching, you know, categories. Just, it was a funky year for them. And I completely mm-hmm. agree. I think they're a little underrated this year.
Overrated. Are the Orioles overrated?
I think
they're medium rated, because I think they're projected to win a little above 90. Last year they won 100. I think that they could probably beat 90. I think that they could yeah. probably win their division.
If they're overrated, it's like the first notch, or you know, yeah. one of the first notches above overrated. You know what I mean? I don't think they're super overrated. You know, it's not like you hit on 20 and pulled another king. Mm-hmm. They hit on 20 and maybe got a 3.
And they've only, again, another team that's only improved.
Exactly.
I look at these teams that did well last year and then improved. Like, you got to figure they're going to keep the success.
Yeah.
Cardinals, we already talked about. The Twins, we kind of already talked about, but I wanted to dig in a little bit more. Vegas has them at 87 wins, same as last year. FanGraphs slightly below at 84. And winning the division. Here's where I don't think the math adds up. They lost close to 10 WAR from the players that left the team this year. Sonny Gray, Jorge Polanco, Michael Taylor, they're all on other teams this year. And they haven't really replaced that talent. If you lose 10 and you replace it with 3, I don't know, I didn't do the math on who they grabbed, but You also got to figure Carlos Correa, very injury prone. Byron Buxton, extremely injury prone. And they don't really have depth in those positions to back those guys up.
No.
They're super average against the AL Central. They were 29-23, 25-21 in interleague play. Most of their success was against the AL West, which I found wild. But, you know, you can't play the A's and the Angels every day.
No.
I think they'll be good. I think they'll win 80-ish games. But I think that they have a lot of smoke being blown up their ass.
Agreed.
Now, the most overrated team, Carl, you asked for my biggest take.
Bring it.
And I'm going to bring it to you right here. The LA Dodgers are the most overrated team. I don't have any math to back this up. I just believe in a baseball god. I think that he punishes teams that try as hard as the Dodgers did this offseason. Like they did with the Mets last year. People asked many times last year. The Mets and the Padres tried to buy their way to a playoff spot, and they failed miserably. I think the Dodgers could have a similar fate. Granted, they are a lot stronger than the Mets or the Padres were last year. I feel the same way about the Yankees, and I feel like this is maybe one I feel a little more strongly about, that the Yankees are overrated. Because how did the Yankees improve other than adding Juan Soto?
Alex Verdugo?
Alex Verdugo. And they lost IKF, who wasn't like a huge part of the team, but like that's a, you know, a trade. You got, you lost IKF, you grab Alex Verdugo. You got Anthony Volpe, he's still figuring things out.
I don't even know who their catcher is.
I don't.
It's not Higashioka anymore.
It's not Higashioka, yeah.
Because he's in San Diego, and IKF played a little bit of catcher, but I don't even know who's catching for them now. They still got Gleyber Torres. They got Judge. They got Soto. But I mean, and Stanton. But I don't. I was
Stanton looks unhealthy. He looks very skinny. And like he didn't do very well last year.
I was thinking that I was going to make a prediction that Stanton was going to have a, like he was going to be my comeback guy, but I don't think it's it. Now here's my reasoning for agreeing with you on the Dodgers thing. I think that they are going to struggle this year, and it's going to be because of Shohei Ohtani, but not because he's not going to perform. But I think I read so many articles and pieces and tweets about how being his teammate and dealing with the attention of being on a team with Shohei Ohtani. And I know they're in LA, you know, and whatever. It's the entertainment capital of the world, but it's not really a sports town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think the extra attention, I think there is going to be, they're not going to be ready for the extra rush of media and in the scrutiny and being constantly asked, you know, hey, yeah, I know you went 4-for-4 with 4 home runs and they were all grand slams, and but what did Shohei have for breakfast? you know, like I think that is, and you're not going to hear about it probably, but that's my guess, is that it's going to be a struggle, because this is a workplace. There are interpersonal dynamics at play that you don't understand as a fan sometimes. And I really think that that's going to be the source of some issues for them. That's just my gut. Again,
yeah,
I'm just an idiot with a podcast, but that's my gut.
I have questions about the Dodgers infield and the Yankees rotation as
Yeah.
Those are my two big. How do you project a team to win over 90 games, 100 games if they don't even have a real infield? You got Mookie Betts playing shortstop. He's never done that in the majors.
Yep.
You've got Lux playing second base, and both of them have already proven not to really be adept in that position compared to the Braves, who have elite defenders in their positions.
Yeah.
And flip side, look at the Yankees. They don't even have a full rotation.
No.
They have Cortez, they have an injured Cole, and then a couple other guys, but like we're not talking about prime Yankees with like, oh, they have Rodon, who was bad last year.
So bad.
Who are these guys? And why does anybody think that they're going to win 92 games? I don't get it.
I don't either. I really truly don't. For the Dodgers' sake, I hope that Freddie Freeman has been working on his picking balls out of the dirt skills over the between, because he's going to have Muncy over at third, just chucking. Prayers, Lux at second. I think Betts is he's a phenomenal athlete. I'm sure he'll
he's good. I'm
sure
he'll pretend he's not.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do fine. But yeah, it's pretty sus a pretty suspect infield situation in LA.
Well, I know we've already gone a little long. To close out the team section, how do you feel about our potential playoff people? Who do you think is our World Series champion this year?
Man, that is a really...
Did you get that far?
Yeah, no, I did. But here's the thing. I learned a very valuable lesson last year, and that is don't be so confident about this. That said, I'm going to sort of pick the chalk on this one, and I could very easily be not surprised by an Atlanta Texas World Series.
Okay. I think Orioles make it this year if they can stand to win a fucking playoff game.
Right.
And, so I'm thinking Orioles, Braves.
Yeah.
Orioles in 6 games.
Yeah, I don't see even if the Dodgers get into the playoffs, which I think they will.
They're out immediately.
Right. Yeah, they're gone. They're gone. And here's
first round.
And here's what I'm telling you right now. If they make it to the playoffs and if they go out in the first round, say goodbye to Dave Roberts.
Oh. Ooh, now that is a hot take. Well, let's talk about these new rules for 2024 to close this out. Here's some of the permanent changes the league has announced. Runners now have the full dirt area around the foul line between home and first as a runner's lane without being called for interference. So a lot more room to run out of the box on your way to first. No longer are you having to threaten your body with a guy throwing a ball behind your head in order to make sure that you're not called out for interference. I think that's a great rule.
It's one of the best changes they've made in a long time. And I really like the bigger bases. I like the pitch clock. I like all that. But I think this is an underappreciated, as somebody who's played the sport and understands how difficult that can be at any level, I like this change.
Pitch clock with runners on is now 20 seconds. It's 18 seconds. That's what it is. So they've reduced the time when you have a runner on base to 18 seconds. With bases empty, it remains at 15. Pitch clock now begins after a dead ball when the pitcher receives the ball, regardless of if they're on the mound or not. That is very interesting. It's going to move even faster.
Yeah. You're going to see a couple guys drop a few balls. Or, oops, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Gator arm it.
Yeah.
Just try to buy an extra couple seconds.
Available mound visits for teams have reduced to 4. Teams still gain a mound visit for the 9th inning if they've exhausted their visits by the end of the 8th. I've never seen a team exhaust their mound visits before, so I don't know how much this one matters. And pitchers who warm up between innings are required to pitch at least one batter before being replaced. The fuck does that mean?
That's a good question. That one I'm unclear on. I haven't
warm
really...
Warm up between innings.
I mean, the way I understood it is if they warmed up between innings, they have to face, like, I read it as they have to face somebody, but I'm not clear on this one.
So if you, I mean, the rule is already, if you come in from the bullpen, you have to face either 3 batters or a full inning.
Right. Unless you fin, like if there's already 2 outs and you come in and get the 3rd out, you don't have to pitch. Like, you could be replaced between innings for the next inning.
Yeah, whatever. we'll figure that one out soon, I think. They're also testing new stuff in the minors. A fully automated strike zone. So no longer is it a hybrid system. They are fully testing the automated strike zone. And umps are still calling balls and strikes, but the teams now have 3 of those touch helmet challenges for the ball and strike call. So throughout the whole game, in every game of the minor leagues, as far as I know, they will be using an automated strike zone, and every team in every game is able to challenge those balls and strike calls. You saw, if you watched any of those spring breakout games during spring training, they were testing that out because those are all minor leaguers that are familiar with the system. I think this is really cool, and I cannot wait to see this come into the majors. I think it's a really great compromise between calling balls and strikes and not.
I used to think that, and I've started to skew back more towards, I like umps still calling the strikes but having challenges.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it's a good compromise.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, okay.
Instead of fully automated, the computer says everything. Yeah. Umpire still calls it.
Gotcha. I apologize because I was actually seeking to clarify the rule that we were confused on. So now this is the rule. A pitcher sent to warm up for an inning must face at least one batter, which is, I think you missed a word there, and it might have confused you. You didn't put the word face in the note. In addition to any requirements under the three batter minimum rule, in 2023, Major League Baseball found 24 instances of a pitcher warming up between innings and then getting replaced before throwing a pitch, adding approximately 3 minutes of dead time per event. There were two such instances during the World Series.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So,
you know what I bet it is I bet what happens is they bring a pitcher out, he warms up, other manager puts in a pinch hitter,
yep,
to do the lefty-righty matchup, and then yep, first manager goes, oh shit, never mind. I think that the league's trying to cut down on that. That's yep, a good rule. That's yeah, a good rule now that I understand it.
Yep.
Now this one is a little bit of a bugaboo. Umpires have been instructed to more tightly call obstruction when fielders block a runner's path to the base at any base. Most of the time you see this called, it's at home plate when a catcher is called for interference by stepping into the baseline prior to receiving the ball. That is a rule that applies to every base. You actually saw this in a spring training game between the Tigers and the Mets, mm-hmm, where a Tiger was stealing a base and Francisco Lindor had his glove in lightly in the base path prior to receiving the ball into his glove, and he was called for interference on that.
No, his foot was in front of the bag.
His foot was in front of the bag. That's what it was. Yeah. Interesting rule. I think this is going to lead to a lot of drama this year.
Oh.
As helpful as I think it is for the players.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's one of those, it's going to be a double-edged sword where players appreciate that it's there, but they're not going to appreciate how difficult it is to call mm-hmm at full speed. And I fully agree with the call in that Mets Tigers game.
Yeah.
He had his, you know, he was knelt down like we were taught, you know, but you can't do that anymore.
A lot of people called ump show, but I disagree. I thought it was pretty fair call.
No.
Those are the new rules.
Yeah. And I'm of the mind that, hey, you know, don't worry about that big oven mitt. Slide in feet first and guys will stop doing it. Just my guess.
Yeah, guys like to do that little fishtail move.
Yep.
Well, our dear listeners, of course, we will be here talking all about baseball. And next episode you hear from us, we're going to talk about all the new things coming to stadiums like food, accommodations, ballpark changes, big scoreboards. That's always an exciting topic to talk about, especially the food. I'm going to try to get my hands on some Citi Field food that they've added this season and give you a review. Or at least my wife will give a nice review.
I look forward to it. I'd love to hear what she has to say.
They have we'll dig into it next week. They have some interesting stuff, I'll say that. But until then, my friend, thanks for joining me, talking about players, talking about baseball. I'm so excited for this season. I always am. Come see me in the All-Star break and see if I'm still feeling the same way.
Set a reminder.
Yeah. We'll clip this and play it after every time. But yeah, folks, thanks for joining us. Enjoy some baseball this week. This has been Put Me in Coach.
Put Me in Coach is an Arctic Sounds original podcast hosted by Matt Coggins and Carl Mizell. Theme music is by Quack Quack Seatback. Edited and produced by Matt Coggins. Check out the footnotes of this episode to see links to all the great highlights, articles, and sources we mentioned on the podcast today, as well as the full theme song and ways to get in touch with us. For more, find us on Twitter and Instagram at PutMeInPod or at our website, PutMeInCoachPod.com.